joining us right now on the phone line. Great writer, smart guy, funny guy too. Christian Snyder writes for NationalReview.com. Also an expert on Saturday Night Live. Maybe if we have some time at the end, we'll get to some of that. But good morning, Christian Snyder.
Good morning. How are you? How's everybody's 401k doing?
You had to go there right away, huh? When you're old and you have some money in your 401k, times like these are not welcome. Let's just put it that way. So not good. And we'll probably spend some time talking about some of that. But let's start with, I think, what's driving some of that, since you brought it up, the tariff question. And then we're going to get to Trump's stance on Europe, which I think is insane. But Christian, when you look at this tariff battle, war, whatever Donald Trump is doing with tariffs, the reciprocal tariffs now a thing, and certainly causing fear and panic among American consumers, American manufacturers, business people, and people who don't agree with Donald Trump. What's your take on this? I mean, the tariff question is so big. I'm actually doing a webinar this afternoon with my friends at Annex about tariffs. Most of us don't spend a lot of time thinking about them, but now it's front and center in our minds. We are forced to, because it's having an impact on everything we do and have to pay for. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when Donald Trump took office, he looked at all kind of the levers of power that the president had, and one of those is to enact tariffs. So I don't think he even sees it as an economic tool. He sees it just kind of as something that he can use to gain leverage over other countries, get other world leaders to do what he wants them to do. You saw that with Colombia. He told Colombia, you take your criminals back that we send you, otherwise we're going to slap you with a tariff, and they immediately turned around. And so that's what this is. This is basically, we complain about crony capitalism, where people do the government favors and they get favors from the government. This is Trump threatening Canada, threatening Mexico and our other allies with tariffs, unless they do what he wants them to do. And that I get, his reason for that is fentanyl coming over the border or whatever. And so he's just basically using it as leverage. The problem is he is playing with fire. You see, when you mess around with tariffs, when companies and countries wake up one day and don't know whether they're having a tariff applied to them or not, it causes chaos in the stock market. It causes chaos in international supply chains. And it's just it's bedlam happening everywhere. He's trying to argue right now that a tariff is essentially a check that a country writes to America, which is absolutely not how it works. It's a tax applied to a company who then passes that on to to consumers. So Americans are going to be paying higher prices on everything that we import. And the idea of reciprocal tariffs is even worse. If tariffs are bad, reciprocal tariffs are insane, because they basically they allow other countries to set America's tariff policy. If we match, if our policy is to match what other countries are doing tariff-wise, then it takes it out of our hands and it lets them set America's tariff levels. And, right now the tariff schedule is about, three to six categories. But once you have, every company has to know the tariff policy of every country and the different levels. It could be in the millions of things of levels where they have to keep track, and it's just completely unworkable. And it's just a total sham. So,
do you think he either doesn't care or doesn't understand the complexities of what tariffs are about and actually the impact they can have on manufacturers and consumers? Which one is it, do you think?
I just think he doesn't understand. I mean, he's even before he took office, he kept saying tariff is the most beautiful word in the English language, So I just don't think he understands how tariffs work. He still keeps arguing that, it's part of a trade imbalance is bad because it means a lot of countries owe us money, which isn't true at all. It's just it's beyond his comprehension. And if you look at economists, they all agree tariffs are bad. Now, maybe there's some targeted tariff here or there that, you know, may help American manufacturing. He thinks it's going to bring manufacturing back to America, but, you know, these factories take 8 to 10 years to build. So as the economy tanks right now, you know, good luck. In 8 to 10 years, maybe you'll have a manufacturing facility somewhere in America, but I just don't think he understands how it all works.
Christian Senator joining us on the Tuesday edition of Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. We're going to take a break, but I want to sort of shift. This tariff issue is putting a strain on our allies, especially Canada and Mexico, but there also is a lot going on in the Middle East and certainly in Ukraine with the war against Russia. And you wrote a piece on nationalreview.com about that issue when it comes to Ukraine and sort of the what seems like a weakness. It's trying to be used by the president to do something else. We'll explore that with the author and writer Christian Snyder after this on 620 WTMJ. Author and writer, and I should say opinion writer, Christian Snyder joining us on 620 WTMJ. We wrote a piece for nationalview.com. As I say that, I'm pulling the piece up. Trump mistakes weakness for strength. What's your argument there?
Well, I don't know if anybody was proud of America after they saw Trump berate Zelensky from Ukraine, the Ukrainian president, in the Oval Office, and, you know, with his little ventriloquist dummy, J.D. Vance. And so it just made us all realize that we are not operating from a position of strength here. I mean, you know, one of the things that people love to do is compare Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan. And, you know, people after that were saying, you know, it was Reagan-esque the way the way Donald Trump took over. Mm. Ronald Reagan did not side with the Soviet Union, famously.
He challenged them.
Right. We won that because we were in a position of strength, because he wouldn't bow down to the Soviets. And yet here we have America taking the side of Vladimir Putin and the Russians in this situation. And, you know, Trump is just a weak person to begin with. I mean, you look at all the things that he does. You remember all through the 90s, conservatives were railing on about victimization culture, and, you know, people were claiming to be victims and all this stuff. And that's exactly what Donald Trump does. You saw in his State of the Union address where he's complaining that people aren't clapping enough for him, and that people, you know, social media is always mean to him, and he's gone. He said he's been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, which is one of the craziest things you could ever hear somebody say. So he's, you know, he takes a position that he's a victim in pretty much everything he does, and that's a position of weakness. You know, being on your knees is not a position of strength. So that's what we're working with, and we need more strength, is what I'm saying.
Up until this incident at the White House, you can argue about what Trump's plan was with Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, with Ukraine. But once that faucet got shut off, where the money that Ukraine needs to fight this battle and actually sort of at least try to win the war, one worries now that if Ukraine falls, and I guess that's a stark reality that a lot of us should start thinking about, what that impact is going short-term and long-term for the rest of Europe. They are now, our allies in Europe, very fearful, including countries like Poland that are now amping up their militaries and probably certainly thinking about what that next decade would look like. This is a real moment that requires real leadership, and I'm not sure we're getting that.
Yeah, it's no secret what Vladimir Putin's plans are for Europe. And if we start to abandon our enemies, if we start to berate our friends, our allies, then you're going to get even more aggression from Putin. And then, of course, you have China eyeing up Taiwan, and they're very interested in what we do in Ukraine because it's a test of whether we're going to be strong and stand with them or not. And so, you know, we've got problems over there now. So yeah, that's the position that Trump's put us in.
As we're talking, I see a banner on CNN, one of the monitors in the studio, that Trump is now doubling tariffs on Canadian aluminum and steel. So that war and that battle continues. It's insane, and it is insanity. And unfortunately, I think the people, as you started the program with 401ks and people that have to pay prices, I have a text from someone who's a machinist. His company just told him this morning their work hours are getting cut, and next step is layoffs. Real-life implications to poor policy, poor decision-making, and really just a bizarre approach to governing. We'll take one more break, or a quick break, because I want to ask Christian about a bunch of other things, including apparently some younger generations that just love Donald Trump and what that's all about, because I know Christian loves to talk about that stuff. Generational divide. Christian Snyder, my guest for the next, about 8 minutes or so, as we move through the Tuesday edition of the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Christian Snyder, my guest, author, columnist, all-around smart guy, and a fun guy. He's a big expert on SNL. We probably won't have time to get to that today, but he has probably the definitive podcast. What's the name of that podcast?
The podcast is Wasn't That Special.
Yeah, and it's every episode, every season, and a spectacular show, which I still love, even though it gets a lot of grief. All right, you're writing a piece today. Is it for nationalreview.com or somewhere else?
It's for my own website, which is antiknowledge.com.
Which I highly recommend. So I looked it up during the break, because I understand the generations, but I wanted to make sure I had it right. Gen X is basically born between 65 and 1980. And you are writing a piece today, which I have not read yet, but that it's sort of linking that generation to sort of this love and fascination with Donald Trump. Explain.
Yeah, so I'm a proud Gen Xer. I was born right in the middle of the generation. And one of the things about Gen X, who basically came of age in the early 90s, is that we value authenticity. You remember all of our bands had to be authentic. The worst thing that you could ever be seen was a sellout. You had to be your real self, all that stuff. And yet Gen X is now turning pretty sharply towards Donald Trump, which kind of goes against the whole ethos of Gen X, of my generation, which is, being authentic, because Donald Trump isn't authentic at all. He lies about it. Everything.
Pretty much.
You know, as we just discussed, he's completely created this idea that he's a strong man when he's actually very weak. But even worse, you have Donald Trump is a baby boomer. Even worse, you have these Gen Xers working for him, Marco Rubio, et cetera. Ted Cruz doesn't work for him, but might as well. These guys are Gen Xers. These guys are basically my age, and yet they're completely inauthentic. They've totally changed who they are as people, which goes against the entire ethos of my generation. So that's what my piece is about today.
Yeah, they're in a very simplistic view, they're voting against their best interests, which I just don't understand. I've had so many conversations away from the show about this. You wanted to vote for this individual, Donald J. Trump, for a second term. What did you expect? I guess that's the shocking thing for me, and I don't know. They never have a real answer for that, at least at this moment.
Yeah, well, people my age love to make fun of, like, influencers and Gen Zers and, people on social media. But basically the whole thing these people, the young people do, is create an entirely new reality for themselves on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And yet these people my age now, Cruz, Rubio, Mike Lee, people like that, are doing the same thing, except they're just Gen Xers and they should know better.
I guess I'm not surprised, because, I mean, so much of Donald Trump is about the celebrity culture, and certainly we've seen the rise of that with all the reality TV programs and just the worship of all that stuff, worship of billionaires. Just real quickly, because we only got about a minute, where do you see this Musk-Trump alliance shattering or splintering? It's going to break up at some point. What might be the driver of that breakout?
I mean, it's basically when you see Donald Trump's approval numbers drop, when people and federal employees start losing their jobs, when the economy keeps going down as it is right now. At some point, Trump's going to look around and see what caused this, and he's going to start pointing fingers. He kind of already is, but when you see some real movement on Trump's popularity, popularity, that's what's going to be it.
All right, real quick, where can folks find your great work? I know it's at nationalreview.com. Where else?
Antiknowledge.com is where I write my newsletter, and then, of course, the SNL podcast at wasn'tthatspecial.com.
He is Christian Snyder, author, columnist, all-around great guy, and a frequent contributor on the program. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thanks.